Genesis begins by telling of two trees planted in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. The fruit our first parents ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a sin against the Creator because it was a sin against His creation. They ate that fruit to be like God, something that fruit could not give. They committed quiet violence against God and His world, in a world that God had created good. And as a result, they were tossed out of the Garden of Eden, ashamed of their nakedness. They were sent away east of Eden to keep them from eating of the tree of life. And God guarded that tree with cherubim and a flaming sword. Revelation concludes God's story of the world's salvation by telling how Adam and Eve's rebellion was resolved by eating of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The mess made in Genesis by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God resolved in the banquet of the Lamb for the faithful who could now eat the food from the tree of life. Here at the table of the Lamb, we come home to eat of that tree that gives us life that never ends. Between the Garden of Genesis and the Paradise of Revelation stands another tree, a bloody one, a tree that joins these two gardens together. It is on this tree that the world's story finds its ultimate resolution, a resolution that the faint of heart and the squeamish find hard to bear. Because it is a violent and a bloody resolution, where the Creator of this creation must give up His life for a world fallen into the swamp of sin. And yet, despite this dark and murderous act of humanity's crucifixion of the Son of God, we now call this bloody cross the Tree of Life. On that tree, Jesus undergoes a bloody bath. For the Father lays upon Him His wrath against sin, and His Son atones for that sin. Jesus' life is framed by water and blood, and when His work is finished, they flow from His pierced side. By His death, our fonts are now consecrated as places where we enter an eschatological life that begins and ends in Christ. But that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when it was eaten, it brought death. And since that day, as someone once said, every dish on our table contains something that has died violently at our hand. We are by nature a bloody people, and we have created a world for ourselves that is a bloody place, but not only for ourselves, but for every creature we have named. Adam and Eve knew that as a result of their sin, they would now have to work and sweat, breaking ground, planting seeds that would die. And yet they also knew that in the death of those seeds, they would see new fruit, fruit that would replace the fruit of paradise that they had forfeited with their sin. Like Adam and Eve, we make ourselves gods, and we fashion in our own gardens with our own hands trees that we think will give life. We run here and there planting seeds of death, thinking that they will give us life, and we try everything. Money, promises, good intentions, creative praise. We try as hard as we can to grow our own tree of life. But none of them work to our ultimate satisfaction. We forget that in loving our own gardens and our own trees, we neglect to look up and see that tree planted outside Jerusalem. For there on that tree, we see the Creator recreating His creation by His blood. And there on that tree, we see our deaths spent out in His suffering and our lives burst forth from His tomb. Such bloody foolishness that life should come from death, that a tree of shame become a tree of life.